Hei alle sammen, velkommen til Trondheim og til Transcontinental Race nummer 12.
Welcome to the Lost Stop podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. It's race day at TCO number 12. Around 400 riders have gathered on the edge of the Arctic Circle in Trondheim, Norway, with roughly 5,000 kilometers of cycling ahead of them. Those that reach the finish in Kalamata, Greece, will have crossed to Europe, from north to south, low temperatures to scorching hot. The race starts this evening at 8 p.m. Before that, registration and one final rider briefing. Let's meet the first of our race reporters on TCO number 12, Sophie Potter.
Good morning everyone and welcome to Trondheim, Norway. I'm Sophie and for the second year in a row, I will be one of the race reporters on TCR, chasing riders on the road to get their stories. So, to the riders out there, if you see me on the side of the road and you fancy a chat, don't hesitate to stop or let me at least run next to you. Like every Lost Team member, I travel here by land, so it was a bit of a shock yesterday when I get out of my last train wearing short and t-shirt and it was 10 degrees and raining. But luckily today we have a big sun, it's 15 degrees, which means our riders are not going to be wet for the registration and they might also have a dry start. Registration this year takes place into a sport hall because we always need a place that is big enough to welcome all the riders, and this year there are more than 400, so the place needs to be big. It's not 10 a.m. yet, so there is no riders because registration starts at 10, but there is like a dozen of volunteers helping moving all the caps that they printed yesterday, putting the trackers on the cap and making sure that registration is going to be as smooth as possible, because we don't want to take too much time to the riders because they need to rest, because the start tonight at 8 p.m.
As the first riders arrive at registration, that familiar hum begins to build, a combination of excitement and anticipation. Christoph Strasser, cap number 5 and two-time TCR winner, is one of the first through the door.
It is my fifth time and I really love it every time because it's always a new challenge. It's always different places, different countries, always new other people on the bike. And I think the competition is just the best out there. And that's what I really love about it.
What are your expectations for this year?
You know, expectations in the race are always very tricky because you never know what happens. But during the last 10 months, I was training to get in the shape so that I can be able to win the race. That's of course one of my big goals, but during the race anything can happen. So you just can influence your preparation and your training. You can be on the start line in the best possible shape, but then you need also a bit of luck to go all the distance.
Do you have any word you want to share with the TCR first timer?
Don't go without sleep too long, because in the end it will pay off if you are safe, if you are in good spirits, and if you don't make any mistakes because of routing mistakes or maybe even doing dangerous situations. So sleeping is important.
Sophie catches another rider early to register, Susie Pariasek, cap 242.
Are you experienced? Is it your first time racing TCR?
Yes, it's my first time. I'm a little bit experienced. I did tours and races before, but not as long, not as epic, and not with these huge distances per day. Yes, I'll try.
Why TCR?
I think the concept of being on some checkpoints, doing the parcours, but being able to to design your route in between by yourself on how you want to go, more uphill or maybe a detour, more flat. I think it's a very nice, yeah, a very nice thing.
And how did you train? Or like,
When I decided to register, it was late autumn, and then in December I hired a new trainer, a new coach. And then I tried to make out the best of it, what you can do within 5 to 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah, which is already like a good amount of time, huh?
Yeah, but I work a lot, so it really was difficult. It was a very hard time, and my husband really supported me, yeah.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
It's nice that for once it's the husband.
David Eyre is race director at TCO number 12. He's working alongside our team of volunteers to welcome riders and make sure they go through all the necessary steps to register. It's starting to get busy.
We are an hour into registration day here at the TCR. We've just had a flood of riders coming in to have their IDs checked, collect their cap and their tracker, have their portraits taken and do their bike checks. So this is the kind of final thing that they do to make sure that they're ready for that start line this evening. There's a real buzz of nervous excitement. A lot of people, returning riders even, saying that like this new race is making them feel really excited, and they're just waiting to get going now. So it's a feeling I share with them. But the volunteers are all here doing a really good job, completely on top of stuff. And luckily, the weather gods have smiled on us as well. So as we stand here in the Rosenborghallen in the centre of Trondheim and we look out towards the water ahead of us, we're greeted with blue skies as well, which wasn't on the forecast earlier this week, so I think everyone will be pretty happy with that upturn in events.
Jake Thorpe will be our second race reporter on this year's race. He catches up with Martin Moritz, cap number 2, who put in a great performance at TCO number 11, rolling in to take second place.
So Martin, you know, it's such a different addition to last year. I would like you to tell me one thing that you're going to bring from your last performance and one thing that is going to be completely new.
Well, one thing I'm bringing is the trust in myself, and also knowing that all my friends will be cheering for me and will be part of this somehow. Not only cheering for me like on messages or telephone calls, but I know they're following me. And one friend always said, "Martin, feel watched." And that can be feel creepy, but in this case, it's really warming, kind of. And one thing that's definitely new is, it's going to be really cold, probably, at some parts, especially here in Norway. And that's going to be a tough challenge. Also, the resupply is going to be a different challenge than last year. And on the other hand, or on one aspect is also the kind of really epic start for me here in Trondheim. We're just standing in front of a window looking out on the fjord, which is, last year was really nice as well, but this year it feels special to be set much far up north.
Lisa Brugelmans, cap 177, also took part in last year's race. Like many riders, she's here on the start line in Trondheim after months of juggling her training with full-time work.
So Lisa, you were here at TCR number 11 last year, but you had to scratch just before the ferry, right? Why was that?
I was just running out of time, basically. I was too slow. I think I already missed the first checkpoint, basically, because I didn't calculate well. Like, the cutoffs were really tight, and I thought I was doing well with like the average pace, but the cutoff for the first checkpoint was really tight. So it was like more like a miscalculation, actually, because I slept the first night. But I kept going until south of Italy, and then it was kind of time for me to stop. So I missed the Balkan part. But I'm going to give it another try this year.
Well, you're an example, Lisa, of someone who's fitting this around work, right? And a certain number of days off.
Exactly. Yeah, that was, I think I already took like 3 extra vacation days and I couldn't afford more. So I took 3 weeks now, and I hope that's enough.
There's no doubt Jarne Kessenheimer starts TCO number 12 as one of the riders to watch, having been fastest woman in the last 2 editions. Jake catches Jarne at registration and asks her about the new Flinter category introduced at this year's race.
So talk to me a little bit as well about the new Flinter category for this year. How's that impacted for you? What do you think the impact of that will be?
I'm a little bit sad that it's a few women than last year. So I think last year we were a little bit more Flinter person. But I'm so excited for the new Flinter category. So this is pretty cool that we will have a Flinter winner, actually, not just calling the person the fastest woman finishing whatever. So yeah, I'm excited for that, especially.
Do you think it brings more of a focus to that Flinter race and Flinter riders?
I hope so, because last year, of course, we also saw that the women's race was pretty intense and I think also quite interesting to follow. I mean, it was a lot of pressure also during the race, racing with Cynthia and with Leia neck to neck, but it was so much fun and it really felt like a race. So I think having a race also for Flinter person it pays the respect that it's needed.
Another experienced rider, and one of the women to look out for at the pointy end of the race, is Nicole van Battenberg.
So Nicole, your first TCR, how are you feeling?
I'm so excited. Like, I've never been so excited for a race. I've been dreaming about this race for like many years. Like 6 years ago, for the first time, I was like, one day I will do the TCR, and now it's finally here. Now I finally found the confidence to sign up, and now it's happening.
Talk to me a little bit about the fundraising that you're doing this year. The fundraising, the Red Cross fundraising.
The fundraising. I started the fundraising campaign together with Jana Kessenheimer, who won the TCR two times, and it's for the Red Cross Climate Center. I work for the Red Cross as a press officer in the Netherlands, but I'm really focused on climate as well. So she sent me a message like, Nicole, do you know people at the Red Cross Climate Center? And apparently they are like sitting on the floor above me, so it was very easy to connect with them and to set it up like just in a week before the race. And yeah, it's going really well. We're aiming for 5,000 euros, so 1 kilometer, 1 euro for each kilometer. But I really hope it's going to be more because I think we're already halfway. So yeah, everyone, if you feel like you can miss something, it would really help.
And where can people donate?
There's a fundraising link in my bio on Instagram and also on Jana, and it's, or you can go to the website gofundme.com. I'm not sure which one, but you can definitely find it on social media, and yeah, it's really easy to do a small donation.
Tim De Vita, cap number 3, has already cemented his place in TCR folklore. With 2 third place finishes, can he edge closer to the top spot this time around?
You said a moment ago when we were with Josh that you're just here to fill the podium. Now, I can't believe that. You're in it to race, correct, Tim?
I won't make such a bold claims, especially in the beginning, especially seeing who is at the starting line. I think, like every year, it's getting stronger and stronger. And I'm also getting older and older. But it would be nice to perform the way I hope to perform, have no issues along the way, and then maybe towards the end we will see what comes out of it. If we are top 10, very good. If we are not top 10 and we enjoyed it, that's also very good. So I'm not going to claim at all that the podium is the goal this year.
As the nervous tension continues to build in Trondheim, it's clear that this year's north to south route has really tempted newcomers and returning riders alike. Marcus Zimmermann, cap 172.
What made you come back this year?
I always thought if the race once will start in the northern countries like Norway or Sweden or Finland, I would love to be a part of the race. And when I saw that the start is in Trondheim, it was a no-brainer for me. So I was actually considering racing again in September already, but the decision was easy when I saw the checkpoints and really loved the northern countries. I've been there a couple of times and I'm really looking forward to ride here. Yeah.
Is there a specific part of the route that you really want to, really looking forward to be?
Obviously the northern countries, and I'm looking forward to ride on the bobsledge in
That's
cool. Sarajevo, and maybe do it twice. depending on my position in the race at that time. So have fun and enjoy the race. Hopefully without any mechanicals again, and
Yeah, last year was a smooth ride for you. Totally. Like every time I saw you, you had an ice cream in your hand and in your mouth.
And no tools for the bike. So, maybe less ice cream this year. Maybe I had a little bit too much last year. But we'll see.
Another returning rider is Mike Fawcett, Cap 53.
Mike, great to have you back. It's a third year running. What's brought you back this time?
I say it's an addiction at this point. Yeah. I mean, it probably sounds a bit cheesy, but the last two races is the most alive I've ever felt. There's major lows, but the highs, you know, massively tip the balance of the experience. So, and the lows are important as well. There's nothing like it for me. So I'm hoping to be back again after this.
Wicked. And so what were the highs last year? Was it finish line or was it elsewhere?
It was elsewhere. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm quite spiritual. So I found the most profound spiritual moments I've ever had happened on races one and two. And yeah, it was mid-race after a big low normally. And then, yeah, just feeling kind of cared for, feeling provided for by, I would call it God, you know, but whatever anyone else would call it. And finish line was great as well, but it was mid-race in those kind of really intense moments that feeling of really being alive and being free was probably at its peak.
Few riders can simply hop on a bike and take on TCR. For most, the race itself is the culmination of months of hard work, preparation, and often, sacrifice. That's why Sophie has been posing the same key question to riders, including Hélène Fromenty, Cap 134.
How do you feel? Do you feel ready?
People say that you can't really be ready. I feel fine. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. But I'm just trying to tell myself it's just a very long ride and that, of course, many things can happen, but it's nothing different that I've been doing so far, just a bit longer. Or at least that's what I try to tell myself. I feel ready. I'm really looking forward to ride my bike. I've been resting a lot these last days. I should maybe have ridden a little bit. I'm a bit sad that I didn't get to see more around Trondheim, but on the other side, I think resting is also fine, and I will see anyway a lot of Norway. So, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to start now.
Anything special in the bike?
Anything special? Oh, yeah. So my boyfriend, Stefan, was supposed to race as well, but he has a crash a week ago. So, unfortunately, he's not there. And so at home, we have this machine to make some sticker. And I asked him to make me a few stickers to put on my bike. So it's a bit cheesy, but I have a bit of stickers everywhere.
Do you want to read some of that?
I love ya. Don't stop. Smile, bitch. And I have also on my helmet something like once in a lifetime, and on my as saver, enjoy the nature, and also here a slow rush behind my saddle.
Yeah, as your mantra.
Yeah, exactly. It's super cute, and we are not too much this kind of person normally, but yeah, why not? I mean, for this time, I'm really sad that he's not here. And of course, it's been also troubling a little bit my last preparation to know that I was, even though we are not racing as a duo, like not to share the travel and the adventure with him was a bit tough. So yeah, I'm really happy in a way to bring him in this journey with me through this little cheesy stickers. I love you, Stefan.
As well as the overall solo and new Flinter categories, there will be the usual field of pairs riding at TCR number 12. That includes Caps 421 A and B, Andrea and Louisa Nicholson.
Yeah, we sign up as a pair. So we are sisters.
Ah.
The fun fact is we are turning 30 now on the 27th of July. And we were thinking about what are we going to do for our birthday. And we love cycling.
You're
twins.
Ah, you're twins.
Yeah. it's a whole story because I went to Sweden in 2024 with my van. And I was like, you need to do this country by bike because it's so beautiful. And we already rode a bike a lot and did some bike packing. And I was like, I want to do this country by bike. And then I was following the TCR for some years, and my sister already did some long bike packing, and she was like, come on, let's do it for our 30th. If I was alone, I would never have dared to do it. It's because of my sister, because she has really a lot of experience by bike.
I will be the slower one. She will be the fastest one.
Yeah, but I think in this whole ultra thing, it doesn't mind that you have different physics. Physical things is just organization, looking for food, looking for sleep, also bike mechanical stuff. And we know each other so well. I can do like a lot of bike mechanical stuff, but she is really good in organizing sleep and foods. So
mental,
I think
the mental state.
Also the mental state. Yeah, I will be suffering mentally, and she's like, oh no, we can do this, and
let it go and just relax and just look at the next step. What is next?
So yeah, we will be fine, and I think we will enjoy every little minute of this trip. It'll be fun.
Another pair, albeit a slightly unusual coupling, is Andrew Phillips and John Endres. As members of the Lost Dot team, they'll be wearing caps 00A and 00B and riding outside of general classification. The aim is to pick up some rider stories quite literally from the road, as well as taking on what they are calling their Project Y.
I spend a lot of my life either racing or organising races, and it's hard not to think about why we're doing it. Particularly this year at Atlas Mountain Race in February, I was really considering my motivations. Came back from having broken my leg last year, sort of getting back into racing, realizing I'm not as fast as I used to be, and kind of reassessing what I want to get out of it. And Project Y is sort of born out of thinking about all of that, not just my motivations and John's motivations, but trying to talk to some other riders we see along the way as well about their motivations and how they change day to day.
That was one of the things that we talked about, John, was how dynamic motivations are. And so what is it in this snapshot of the registration day and first race day? What are your motivations? Where's that at?
I could do with losing 10 kilograms. The race will be suitable for that. That's my only motivation right now. I feel ginormous.
Okay, so aesthetic for John. What about for you, Andrew?
A lot of the reason I really wanted to race TCR this year was having worked on the book project for over 2 years now. And you can't do that, as you'll know, Jake, without coming to terms with what a kind of enormous project TCR is and how much it means to so many people and how much it means to me as well. So the chance to ride it one more time was a chance that I just couldn't pass up.
I have all of that as well, but just a bit cooler and scared, more scared than Andrew, but all of that as well.
Lucas Stripmatter, cap number 197, will be riding TCR for the third time.
So what brings you to the TCR this year?
Hey, I think mainly it's the route. I've been here in Scandinavia once, and it was so cool. The nature, it was so lovely. So I had to go here once again. And yeah, of course, TCR, it's like the most prestigious race in the ultra scene. So yeah.
What are your hopes? What are your dreams for this year?
Well, it's my third year of TCR. The first one was quite good. I finished 8th. Last year I had to quit scratch. So there are like two sides. One is I need to be like better than the 8th place. But on the other hand, with the scratch last year, there is like, always the on the back of my mind, the scratch. And
I understand it's not trying to get ahead of yourself. And you've got, almost sounds like you've got two selves to beat. You've got the one who came 8th, and you've also got the one who scratched. And so, you know, finishing is then that success as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Finishing is always the main goal, but I am ambitious, and I need to be better than the last version.
Yeah. Last version, I seem to remember that you had some quite interesting nutrition strategies with was it sardines? A lot of sardines?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I like sardines, and they're good protein and fatty acids in there. So yeah, it's kind of good.
Registration will end later this afternoon, but there are still a number of riders arriving to collect their race caps and go through those final checks. As always, our volunteers are keeping things running nice and smoothly, including Stolle.
Oh, how has it been today to see all the riders coming in?
It's amazing, really. And, you know, I live here in Trondheim. So for me to have this race, which I've heard of for so many years, coming to my hometown, I never saw that coming, of course. So it's amazing now to see 400 people here coming to my hometown.
How did you see the riders? Were they stressed? Were they happy? What was the feeling there? What was the vibe?
I would say it's a combination. I mean, it's 400 people and it's 400 different attractions for this. I think some do it purely for race. Some do it for an experience for life, probably. Some do it to realize themselves in a way. And some are probably challenged by some friends or bad friends, probably. So
they lost a bet.
Yeah, they probably lost a bet, yeah. So I think it's to be outside here, checking their bikes and so on, you meet everyone. And but it's amazing. No matter if they have to replace something, go and grab a Highways West or Gillette, you know, these things, they are all smiling and so enthusiastic. So we have only met 400 smiles today, I think. It's fantastic, really.
Good.
Yeah. So now to be a volunteer here as well, it has been just a pleasure, honestly. Yeah.
At TCR, the Maglia Arancia is awarded to the rider with the fastest cumulative time across the race's mandatory parkour sections, excluding the star parkour. It's also dedicated to those riders who have died doing what they loved, and a way to advocate for better road safety. For Mudit Kohli, Cap 128, this race has deep meaning after his brother Mohit was killed in a road traffic accident while attempting to break a cycling world record. Mohit had been due to take part in last year's TCR, and was honoured by all riders at the start line.
How does it feel for you to be here?
It's a bit emotional, but like the team here has been like really, really great in what they did to honour my brother, and like I had to come here. Yes. I got into ultra cycling because of him, and he's the one who got me out of like really, really messed up stuff. So, and like he gave me this gift before he left, and I just want to give back as much as I can, and for him and for like my family also back home, and whatever joy they can get from something like this, if they can. But I don't know if they can, but like I try to do my best. And yeah, I mean, it's not just for him, it's for me also. I feel connected when I'm on the bike with him. So yeah, it's great. Like, it's good therapy, I guess, for me as well.
You're going to have a lot of time and a lot of kilometers to get connected with him.
That's true. Yeah, I know. I mean, the route is so, so beautiful. And, like, he would have loved to be on the race. So, just representing him. And, yeah, I feel, like, nervous, excited, everything. All sorts of emotions. Yeah. And coming back to my brother, like, I would usually call him in these times. So, but I have like a lot of his voice notes to get each day by, so I think it'll be fine.
Sarah Boslett, Cap 120, was Mohit's partner. She rode an exceptional race last year and is back again at TCR number 12.
I feel really good. I think my preparation was much better than last year. Yeah. Last year it was like much other circumstances, and I was just so glad last year that the race happened and that they wanted to honor Mohit at the start line, and that brought me to the race. And this year I want to do better than last year. So yeah, I focus a little bit more in the preparation, and I have a new bike, which I'm really happy with. But that was also more like last minute. I think I have it one and a half months now. So
I know some people who had a new bike 2 weeks ago. So you're not too bad.
Yeah, but 2 weeks ago I already left for Norway because I was on a hiking tour with my students. And yeah, so my last preparation was hiking, but yeah, I'm used to Norway already and it's so nice and I'm really looking forward to start here in Norway and with like no darkness the first days. I think that will be so beautiful. Yeah, then we will see how it goes. I'm really looking forward and I will just do my best and then let's see how I end up.
Did you set yourself some goals? Or just to do the best?
Yeah, I want to be faster than last year. I think the routes are pretty similar, maybe a little longer, but yeah, faster than last year. That's my goal, and I just want to ride 17 hours per day. And then let's see how that works out.
Okay. Registration is all about last-minute admin and getting ready to race. It's also an excellent opportunity for riders to cast a curious eye over one another's bike and kit choices. For some, it's all about the aero and packing light. For others, a little whimsy is just as important. Race coordinator Hannah Labalestier spotted some fine avian bike decoration sported by Julian Manrique, Cap 202.
Oh, dude, so I do work a lot with birds, so actually I do cinematography, nature cinematography, and I've been in love with nature and birding since a couple of years, so they always come with me in every single trip, so now I have even more birds, if you can see. So this guy is always with me, it's a little toucan, and the bike is customized colors, and it actually has a nice crane on it, which is going to be with me as well.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And on your helmet, did you paint it?
It's custom paint by Colombian artists, yeah. The frame and the helmet has been covered by different artists. The helmet is one called Afropec, and the frame is from Terradosa. So Colombian artists, and even have a little flag on it.
And who is it, a crochet toucan on
it?
It
is a crochet toucan that I won a couple of years ago in an ultra race in Colombia. So this guy is like my lucky charm, and he wanted to come back with me, so I had to put him somewhere. I changed a little bit my setup of bags, so I need to find a place for him. And he likes to be aero, you know. So
he's the one who signed up for TCR and you had no choice but to.
Yeah. He's the one. He's the one who's paying the bills. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Ultra cycling has grown in popularity, with elements of the sport seeing at least some level of professionalization. But riding ultras and the TCR in particular is far more than a numbers game. It's about mental strength and still, when all said and done, the love of riding a bike. And riding a bike is for everyone. Max Vita, Cap 280.
The helicopter took me like 8 years ago and I had a heart attack and the whole thing. And then I figured I gotta change something and ended up cycling like I did 20 years before. And I kind of got stuck with it.
Is it your first time TCR?
TCR first time, yeah. Yeah, I'm shaking, you know. All the last days and last weeks and last months and, you know, going from, wow, I got a place on the starting line and being all excited, then you're all frustrated and then you're anxious and then time runs and all of a sudden you're here. It makes me very humble. It seems like I'm on the wrong spot here, you know, because if you look around and it's all like...
You feel you don't belong?
Yeah, for some reason. Well, there's people, I mean, look at the bikes, look at the people, they're all trained and got muscles like hell, and they're talking about, you know, FTP values, and I have no idea. And watts that they use, I don't speak that language, just like riding the bike. It's about riding, it's like, you know, I'm not training, I'm riding. So I'd love to do that every day, and now... I have 4 weeks of riding my bike every day, and that's the plan.
Robert Muller, Cap 37, is a vastly experienced rider who's won races all around the world, including Losdot's own Trans-Pyrenees race. He's also known for some creative thinking and finding a way in tricky situations.
Robert, I hear so many stories about your past racing exploits. Can you tell me what gives you such resourcefulness in all of your racing?
I don't know, I just like to ride my bike. And then I'm not the most organized person. And then a lot of stuff just happens on the way. So there's always something going wrong, and then I have to find a solution, and yeah, there's always some chaos happening.
Chaos is exactly the word I would use to describe it. You've slept in trash cans, you've done mountain passes in hotel slippers, you've then ridden between your win at the TPR to the Two Volcanoes Sprint, sleeping on beaches all the way, and then you only missed out on the top spot of the Two Volcanoes Sprint because you forgot to get off the ferry. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I did the crossing to Sicily three times because I just forgot to get off. Yeah.
Jokes aside, there have been some other changes in the modern TCR. How have you found the field developing during your time racing?
Yeah, I'm only doing ultra cycling since 6 years now and unsupported since 4 years. And already in these 4 years, the level went up like crazy. Now you have professionals, you have so many strong riders. Every year, new riders are coming, young riders. I've never heard about them, but that they are already very strong in their first ultra race. So here I also expect a lot of people to appear on the big stage for the first time and that I don't know them.
With registration about to close, there's just time for Sophie to catch a couple more riders before the final briefing at the start of the race. Maxime Prieur, Cap 164.
What TCR represents for you?
Oh, it's the, I don't know the name in English, it's the Graal, the best one, the GOAT, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm here because it's the biggest race of the world for the road cycling. So yeah.
What are your expectations for the race?
Can you
share it? You don't want to jinx it.
No, I want to make the best race ever, of course. I want to enjoy, of course, and I will cross some more country than my life, you know. And I think I'm going to expect to have a lot of story to tell after the finish line.
Yeah.
That's the best. And, of course, finishing in the top 10.
Yeah, okay. That's your goal.
Yeah, but I will try. But it's too far from now to be sure about anything. I have a good route, but I don't know if it's the fastest route. And for a long race like that, you don't know what's going to happen if you make the right choice, you know?
Do you have any race strategy you want to share with us?
Yeah, on the 28th. I'm gonna using that all day because that is gonna be my birthday. And after, no strategy I want to share. I have a long ferry to cross the Baltic to sleep in my own cabin. You know, it's gonna be some holiday, you know, croisière in French.
Finally, Jake catches up with previous winner and one of the ultra cycling scene's most successful riders in recent years.
Robin Gemperle, Cap number one.
Robin Gemperle, that rings a bell. Have you raced TCR before?
Yes, I have. It's my fourth time. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, just the standard answer so far.
Standard answer so far, but I asked you a couple of weeks ago when we spoke, you know, we had an experiment failure success. And you said you'd thought of another word. Has any other words sprung to mind?
No, it hasn't come up yet. I listened to the podcast that you put together and I thought that this will actually be an issue. I will have to find a word.
How does it feel now being on the start line and you know, being in Trondheim? Does it change anything or is it still the same?
I am relaxed, but I'm also like, I am a bit nervous as well. I don't know. I just want to use these last few hours to really be calm and not waste energy, so that might also help the image you're seeing of me. But no, I am now it feels like these last 4 hours, they're always shit. I want to get going. Yeah.
Some point you just want to ride your bike.
Guess so. Yeah, definitely.
The riders are gathered in the sports hall in Trondheim. The rider briefing is a last chance for race director David Ayer to go through the race rules and wish everyone good luck before they embark on this incredible journey.
Hello everyone, welcome to the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race. Thank you all very much for being here. Thank you for putting your trust in us as a race team and being excited enough about this route to want to come and race it. To be able to stand here for this 12th edition and to look out at all of you and to know that the hard work that we've done over the past 12 months is about to come to fruition is incredibly exciting and rewarding. I can't believe that we get to call this a job. It is the most fun job in the world, I am sure of that. So thank you for making that come true for us, and I hope you all have a brilliant race. I look forward to seeing you all out on the road and to hopefully sharing a finish line beer with many of you in Kalamata. Thank you very much.
We're going to roll out now. Remember, roll out slowly behind Andrew and John. Have a fantastic race, and I'll see you all in Kalamata.
The riders roll out of Trondheim into a Norwegian midnight sun to begin an adventure north to south across an entire continent. Join us in our next episode to see how the first night in the saddle shapes up and whether any early race patterns begin to emerge. Remember, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apajura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.